Okay, good evening.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It is a pleasure.
My laugh is optional.
Yes, I think so. A pleasure to see everyone here. I got a text message today that, what was I thinking, having a shiur in Game 5 of the Yankees playoff series. To the Yankee fans, I say that I figured they would have swept the series and they went to win a game tonight. And to the Yankee haters, I say I figured they would have gotten swept and they went to win a game tonight. But here we are, Baruch Hashem, and I'd like to just explain for a minute what the impetus was for this shiur, this series, which we're starting tonight and hopefully will continue for quite some time. Good evening. Rabbi Luban spoke on Shabbat Shuva towards the end of his drasha about Lashon Hara and the dangers of Lashon Hara, the seriousness of Lashon Hara. And he said one thing, and he shared with me the article that he wrote, which is very, very scary. He said that he was talking about how when he was working for the OU and they just showed all the employees how many phone calls they made in a month. And he figured for the shul, he made a couple phone calls and they handed him a 30-page printout with all the phone calls. And he said, imagine if we got a printout from God of all the times we spoke Lashon Hara. And he said, if you do the math, if you have 5 words of Lashon Hara a day for 30 years, so that's 50,000 words of Lashon Hara. And that was scary to me. And I figured right at that moment in time, I want to learn again Sefer Chafetz Chaim, I'm going to give a shiur, and if no one comes, at least it'll be chizuk for me to do a better job of being careful in how I speak. But then I realized there's really another reason as I was thinking about it more. The Chafetz Chaim always inspired me and fascinated me. I believe he's probably the most famous rabbi the last couple hundred years, but probably more pictures of him sold or in people's houses. People talk about the Chafetz Chaim. People know the Chafetz Chaim. I had a neighbor in Queens. We lived in Queens before Pesach, Rabbi Yenowitz, who learned in the Radin Yeshiva. He was there from 1931, the last year and a half of the Chafetz Chaim's life, until he was sent to Siberia, I believe, in 1941. He met the Chafetz Chaim. He was there. He was there for Duchening. Chafetz Chaim was a Kohen, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kohen Kagan. He got a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim in Duchening. He heard him speak, and he would talk about the Chafetz Chaim. I've never met anyone or seen anyone talk about someone with such reverence. It was almost he was shaking, but with also a love talking about the Chafetz Chaim. And I think the Chafetz Chaim, for all that he did and stood for, as we'll see, I think it started off with this work. The Chafetz Chaim, and if you turn the page, I found online the obituary written in the New York Times in 1933, when the Chafetz Chaim died, which is fascinating. You could, he wasn't 105, there was a mistake. He was born in 1938. I think they had that he was born in 1933 or something like that. I think he was 95 when he passed away. But the Chafetz Chaim wrote the work. Rabbi Yechiel Mordechai Gordon, who was Rosh Yeshiva of the Lumji Yeshiva, said he heard from the Chafetz Chaim himself that he wrote the introduction to this work when he was 28 years old. He wrote the first two, the volume 1 and volume 2, the first part and the second part, a little bit later in 1871 and 1872, and was published in 1873. This was the first of the Svarim that the Chafetz Chaim wrote. He authored more than 20 Svarim, probably most famously, if not the Chafetz Chaim, is the Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah, which is 6 volumes on halachas of daily life. Any shaila that any Rav gets, the first place they look is the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim had a yeshiva in Radin with many, many students, and he had a profound influence on many students, and that started with his work, the Chafetz Chaim. He wrote that sefer when he was 28, and then 5 years later, I think, when he published the sefer, he was an unknown. He actually didn't even write his name. He wrote it anonymously. And it was only when his second sefer came out, Shmiras HaLashon, which was the Musar sefer on Lashon Hara, an imposter arose and was going around town saying he was the Chafetz Chaim. He was the author of this book, and he felt compelled to say who, you know, the real Chavetz Chaim, please stand up. And he told everyone who he was. When he wrote the Sefer, he was an unknown. And I think it's safe to assume that this work is what propelled him to write his 20 Svarim, to have this yeshiva and Radin, to have an influence on Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and on Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, and to write the Mishnah Berurah, which wasn't written, I think, until 1904. So it was all started with this Sefer. So leaving aside the importance of speaking and how the way we speak defines who we are, speech separates us from animals, the Chafetz Chaim's work, this Sefer, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, propelled the Chafetz Chaim forward to have the profound influence that he did. And I think there's more than that. His influence reverberated for many years. There's a story told by, I guess we could say, our own Dr. David Lukens. He tells a story that in 1993, he met with Senator Patrick Moynihan and Shimon Peres, who was then the foreign minister. And they met to discuss the Camp David Accords. And at that meeting, at the end, Senator Moynihan thanked Shimon Peres for his support of the Jerusalem Fellowship, which was an organization under the umbrella of Esh HaTorah, the Yeshiva Esh HaTorah. And he thanked Shimon Peres. Patrick Moynihan was on the board. He was honorary chairman, I think, the founding honorary chairman. And he thanked Shimon Peres for his support. And Shimon Peres said to him, I'll read the quote, "Senator, let me tell you why I support the Jerusalem Fellowship and Yeshivot. Over 60 years ago, when I was 8 years old, I was already an ardent labor Zionist. I had a religious uncle who was upset by my lack of faith and dragged me to the village of Radin to meet the Chafetz Chaim, the Venerable Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan." Peres continued, "The great rabbi and I had quite a talk. He quoted Maimonides, and I responded with Marx. He quoted Talmud, and I quoted Ushishkin. The Chafetz Chaim then began to cry and put his hands on my head and blessed me. The Abishter, God, gave me a long life. He should give you the same. You should go as you wish to Eretz Yisrael and become a great leader of the Jewish people. But remember, my kin, remember, my son, that you can't have a Jewish state without the Abishter and without the Abishter's Torah." And he writes one more paragraph. Peres became quite emotional. "Senator, yesterday was Yom Kippur. I do not fast all day. My wife does. I do not spend the day in synagogue. But every Yom Kippur night, I think of what the Chafetz Chaim told me and realize how true his words were. And this is why I support the Jerusalem Fellowship and Esh HaTorah." If you think about it, the Chafetz Chaim's influence is still having a tremendous effect on the Torah world in Israel today, on the support of Yeshiva and Esh HaTorah and Zionism. Even the Shimon Peres, who wasn't religious, was being influenced by this great Chafetz Chaim. And I think it's safe to say that without the work Chafetz Chaim, which made him famous, who knows if he would have had the strength, the chizuk, to continue on and become the leader that he was. So with all that, I think we can learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and with the hopes of connecting with this Adam Gadol, the Chafetz Chaim, and hopefully, in addition to that, learning, bettering the way we speak. So you have on the first page, we will have books next week. They just came out with a wonderful English-Hebrew translation in English. I believe Dershu put it out. It's phenomenal. I wasn't sure how many people were going to come. So it's amazing how many people are here. We'll get some copies of the book next week, which we could have.
Is it okay to use this little book that is around here?
We have a book here?
The Daily...
Oh, I don't know if it's exactly the same. I think that might be a summary or a compilation. I'll have to go through the Sefer instead of just explaining the laws. We'll read what he has to say. If you take a look later, there was a big debate always what the real picture of was the Chafetz Chaim. Was the picture that everyone has in their house really the Chafetz Chaim? People said that was the butcher. Other people said if that was what the butcher looked like, you can imagine what the Chafetz Chaim looked like. But the video was released, I believe it was now 2-3 years ago. They found a video of a conference, I think, in Vienna. And on the back, you have the picture, which they say is the authentic picture of the Chafetz Chaim. And on the next page, as I said before, is the obituary of the New York Times in 1933, which again I think is fascinating, that at that time there was already an obituary the next day. I think it was the day after he died, before the funeral, in the New York Times. Okay, so we don't have a lot of time, but let's read through together, starting with the introduction of the Chafetz Chaim. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Asher Hevdilonu Mikol Ha'amim. Baruch Hashem, thank God, Praiseworthy is God that he separated us from the other nations of the world. V'nasan lanu es toraso, v'hichnisanu l'aretz ha-kodesh. God gave us the Torah, and God brought us into Eretz Yisrael, k'dei sh'nizkeh l'kayim kol mitzvosa. There's a reason why God brought us in, was so we could have mitzvos. Says the Chafetz Chaim, l'chol kavanaso hu rak l'tov asenu. The purpose of God bringing us into Israel and giving us the Torah was for our own benefit. K'dei sh'al yedei zeh niyeh k'doshim elov. And the Mesil Sharma has a similar idea well before the Chafetz Chaim, that the point of Torah and mitzvos is for our benefit. Through them, we can become holy. K'moshe kasev, as the Pasuk says, mantizkeru v'asisem es kol mitzvosai. It's a Pasuk that we say that we should, the mantizkeru, you should remember and do my mitzvos. V'yihisem kedoshim, and you should become holy to God. V'yiyeh v'yicholtenu l'kabel es hashpas tuvo v'rov chasto b'olam hazeh. Uba olam haba. The point of the mitzvos, the point of becoming holy, is so that we will be able to be mekabel, to receive the hashpa, the influence, the outpouring of tuva, of God's goodness, v'rov chasto, and his kindness in this world and in the next world. The point of living, the point of Torah, is not just so we could get to olam haba, it's for this world as well. As the pasuk says, Ma Hashem elokecha shol me'imach, what does God ask from us? And the pasuk continues, we should fear God, we should follow his ways, we should love him. And the end of the pasuk says, Lishmor, it's mitzvos Hashem, it's chukosal, it's shenuchim, it's avchayom, the tov lach. The point of all mitzvos is for our own good. And continues the Chafetz Chaim in the second paragraph, v'lo dai b'zeh, shenasun lanu es klei chemdaso. It wasn't enough for God to give us this treasure, the Torah. Af gam tziva osanu, shelo na'azvena. He gave it to us, and then he commanded us and warned us, don't abandon it. Kimosha Kasav, as we sing every Shabbos, unless you're at the Shkaminin, where they want to finish quickly so they don't sing. Kilek atov nasati lachem, Torah si al tazovu. And says the Chafetz Chaim, this is based on the Gemara, very interestingly, that God's approach in giving us a gift was different than when man gives a gift. The lo kemidas pasav adam. God giving us this gift is not like people. If I have a treasure, I have a gift, and I give it to a friend, and my friend, the recipient of the gift, doesn't treat it well, and it's not special, it's not precious to him, so what does the giver think? He's thinking and anticipating, I give my daughter a sweater for Hanukkah and she's not wearing it. She doesn't like it. So I'm waiting. When is she just going to tell me, Mom, you can have it already? I give it to her. She doesn't want it. I want it back. That's the way most people work. The giver of the gift will then take it back if the recipient is not enjoying it. God was not that way. Even though there were many times throughout our history where we weren't following the Torah, ki yehikim wanu b'chol dor v'dor, b'mei bayis rishon, neviim, l'hachzireinu l'mutav. In times of the first Beis HaMikdash, we had neviim. So when we weren't doing the right thing, God didn't say, okay, I'll go back to Edom, I'll go back to Yishmael. You don't want the Torah? Fine, I'll find someone else who wants the Torah. God established neviim prophets to help us return to the right path. V'af b'mei bayis sheni, Sheyarad Matzav HaYisraeli Babnusena Rabbin Tushas HaRishona. So in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, where we descended even to a lower level of Kedusha from the first Beis HaMikdash. The Chasulahem Chamisha Dvarim Shailahem Bibayis Rishon. There were five things that were no longer in the Beis HaMikdash. The five things were the Aron, the Kaporas, and the Kruvin. The Shechina, whatever that means, the Shechina was not there in the second Beis HaMikdash. Ruach HaKodesh was no longer in the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Urim and Tumim were no longer in the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Jews sunk to such a level, we weren't worthy of all these aspects. Im kol zeh, with all this, b'hi yoseinu al maseinu, v'haya lanu beis ha-bechira, as long as we were in our land and we had a Beis HaMikdash, haya yichol l'kayim kol mitzvos ha-Torah. We were still able to do all the mitzvos. God didn't say, you're abandoning me, I'm done. I'm going to find someone else. So God gave us the Torah for our own benefit. And oftentimes people don't realize the gift that we have, and still God does what he can. Well, he can do everything, but God will work. God will help us find the path again. Through that, we can complete the parts of our soul. Just like there's 248 limbs, and there's the 365, what's the proper translation of gidim?
Sinews.
So we have the same thing in mitzvos. There's the ramach, 248 mitzvos asay, and the 365 mitzvos lo tasay. It's ramach and shisa. And each mitzvah, each limb corresponds to a mitzvah, and we have that in our soul. So God is enabling us to get that back, which is different than a human who gives a gift. And now the Chafetz Chaim gets into Lashon Hara. It says, "Ach lebesof ba'yisheni gavra sinas chinam v'lashon hara b'neinu ba'avnu sinu harabim." At the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, we know the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the baseless hatred, the sinas chinam. It was the Lashon Hara. That was becoming a big problem. Uba avur zeh necharav habayis. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam and Lashon Hara. V'galinu me'artzenu. We were exiled from our land. Kid'isa b'yuma ubi yushalmi. Like the Gemara says. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, v'gam shubi gemara nokta sinas chinam. The Gemara says the reason we were destroyed was because of hatred. Says the Chafetz Chaim, hakavani hi alashon hara. The real shot in the Gemara was not because of just hatred. It had to have been hatred that led to something. Lashon hara is an outgrowth of sinah. If it was just hatred that didn't lead to anything so terrible, so the punishment wouldn't have been so severe. So says the Chafetz Chaim that the understanding of that Gemara, the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the reason there was such a harsh punishment, was because of Lashon Hara. V'hainu d'siyem sham l'la melcha shekasha sinas chinam k'neged rozara gila rayos v'shvichos damim. The Gemara says that sinas chinam, hatred, is tantamount to the worst three sins: inappropriate sexual activity, idol worship, and murder. So says the Chafetz Chaim, you have another Gemara that compares Lashon Hara to those three sins. So the Beis HaMikdash was, in essence, destroyed, not just because of hatred, a hatred that led to the sin of Lashon Hara, which led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What the Chafetz Chaim is going to build next week, the next paragraph, is that we all talk about wanting to bring Mashiach and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam and because of Lashon Hara, there's no way it's going to be rebuilt unless that problem is fixed. So we could sing we want Mashiach all we want, and we could daven ubnei Yerushalayim v'rakosh meherav yameinu v'Yerushalayim mircha. We could say it in benching, we could daven for it, but unless we rectify that problem, that's always going to hold back the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We will stop here. I wanted to be strict at stopping right at 8:50, even though some people think if you're going to drive out, you might as well have more than 20 minutes. But we'll keep it to 20 minutes. Great to see everyone. Thank you. Have a good week. And yeah. See you next week. Well, I'll see you on Shabbos, hopefully, also.